Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
Happy Valentine's Day again. Well, let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. You are a God of love. You are a God of peace. You are a God of joy. You are a God of hope. And we just pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts for what you have for us. Lord, speak through me in a real way this morning, Lord, and encourage our heart in Jesus' name. Amen. In a time of life where it is so easy to feel disconnected with others due to this pandemic, you know, so many people on technology, the busyness of life, trying to juggle work, church, sports, extracurricular activities, sometimes authentic connections are difficult to fit in. But we need to be more intentional now more than ever to build authentic connection. A connection that is not at a surface level, but a connection that is authentic, a connection that is genuine. And this morning, I want to encourage you in three ways to build authentic connection. And I believe that this morning, if we implement these points together, you can build authentic connection in the communities that you are a part of. And I don't just mean either Cumberland or Royston or Courtney or Comox. I'm talking about your neighborhood. I'm talking about at school, at work. All those different communities that you are part of. Who doesn't want stronger connections at work? Who doesn't want stronger connections in your neighborhood? And maybe if that's you, we'll be praying for you, okay? We'll be praying extra hard. This morning, we are going to use Deuteronomy 6 as our text. All right, so you can turn with me. The verses will be on the screen as well. Deuteronomy 6 is a call for wholehearted commitment. Okay, can you guys repeat after me? Wholehearted commitment. Yes, thank you, Pastor Mike. Here, Moses is giving some instructions and a call to the Israelite people. He is describing a relationship that people should have with God. And there is so much truth and quality things that we can implement here in our life. Deuteronomy 6:4-9. Let's read. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on your doorstops or doorposts of your house and on your gate. Here, Moses is in the middle of an oration to the Hebrew people about decrees and regulations and throws in the word listen. Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. It was a clear phrase that Moses' listeners better listen up. What he had to say was important, which leads to our first point. Our first point in building authentic connection is to love. Pastor Mike mentioned this a lot. We talked about love in this intro, right after the announcement time. Church, if we were able to simply focus on this verse alone, we would be phenomenal workers. We would be phenomenal neighbors. We would be phenomenal students. We would be our classmates. We would be phenomenal parents. This scripture has a lot of great points for parents. And partly through this message, we'll be encouraging parents during that time. Here we see that God is to be loved completely, heart, soul, strength. because he and he alone is God. Because God totally loves his people. He loves you. Church, he loves you. He loves you as an individual. He loves me. He expects his people to give themselves to him in heart, soul, and strength. What do you think the significance of heart, soul, and strength mean? These terms are to indicate a person's commitment to God, our trust and obedience to God. I'm going to put emphasis on this point, and this is my listen up moment for you. The words behind heart, soul, and strength basically relate to how a person directs himself or themselves to other people. If we want to be all about Jesus, heart, soul, and strength, we need to be about people. We need to love others. In Mark 12, Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, and here was his answer. In verse 29, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, 'Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength.' But the second is equally important as well. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." These commandments belong to each other, just like peanut butter belongs with jam. Am I right? Here, Jesus was asked what the most important commandment was, and he gave two. He brought Leviticus 19:18 together with Deuteronomy 6:5 to show that your love of a neighbor is a natural progression in your ongoing relationship with God. Heart, body, soul, strength. I love this. The more we draw close to Jesus in our life, the more natural it becomes to love others, love the ones that are around us. How does it look for you, loving your neighbor? How does it look for you, loving your coworker? Students, how does it look loving your classmates? And I'm not just talking about the ones that you enjoy. How does it look for you at school? What about those that are in your house? Throughout the Bible, God commands his people to love him with all their heart and serve him alone. We see it in Deuteronomy, we see it in Joshua. Since love is commanded, it must be in our power in Christ to love. Love is a decision that we make. Love is a decision that we make. The Greek word for love used in reference to God is agape, which means benevolence, delight, preference, or goodwill. Some of these words that you'll hear around the church. This is the kind of love that God has for us. And speaking of goodwill and love for others, I just want to publicly say thank you to those who gave food for our food bank. There was a question that if people can bring food for our food bank, and it was really cool through this last week. I came out of the office, and Chad and Tanya Hooker were unloading their truck full of groceries for our food bank. I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity and your care for the people of the Comox Valley. 1 John 4:19 says, "We love because he first loved us." 1 John 4:16 says, "Since God is love, we are created in his image. We can love as he does." He has placed within us a great capacity to love others. He then teaches us how to love by demonstrating what real love looks like. John 15:13 says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." Loving God begins with a decision. But we cannot truly love God until we know him. As we grow in knowledge and understanding of who God is, we begin to love the characteristics that define him. He's loving, he's full of wisdom. He brings truth, he's pure. He loves us. And as we spend more time with God, it causes our hearts to stir. We develop more of a hunger for him, a passion to do what's right, to run away and flee from sin. We need to love. We need to practice love. I encourage you to practice love, to be around people maybe you have a hard time with, to try to spend some time with them, and you'll learn to appreciate what they bring to the table. The second way in building authentic connection is commitment. Deuteronomy 6, 6-7a, and you must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Repeat them again and again to your children. The people weren't to concern themselves only with their own attitudes toward the Lord, but also they were supposed to impress these commands to their children. The Israelites were to talk about God's commands always, to repeat the commands again and again and again to their children. Verbal repetition was a vital tool back in the day to hold onto information. Today, any early childhood educator would say that repetition is still one of the primary ways that kids learn. You know, I've been a kids pastor and a youth pastor for quite a few years, and when I was looking for curriculum back when I was in Vernon, I was looking at curriculum for, it would be like our blue zone, our blue zones for our 2 to 5 year olds. And I was talking to the salesperson about all these different curriculums, and he said, "Oh, I've got this really good one." And I'm like, "Oh, okay, yeah, tell me more about it." They said, for the whole year, we only talk about 10 Bible stories. And I'm like, "Oh, well, that doesn't really make sense." And what he said was, for each month, I think maybe it was 12, actually, because it works with the year. And each story comes in, it tells a story, the same story, 4 ways. And so each month, they'll go through this same story 4 times, but teaching it in a different way. Repetition works. That is why young kids will ask you to read the same book over and over and over and over and over again, right? If you ever want to know the story Milk and Cookies, I know it off by hand. I read that book hundreds and hundreds of times. Kim, if you are listening, I'm hoping. It is Valentine's Day, right? So maybe you and I, we can read Milk and Cookies to our teenagers at home tonight. All right? Let's do it. That's a plan. Repeating the core message of Jesus over and over to our kids is how they are going to discover God's love for them. I love my parents. I love my parents so much. They impressed their faith on us, not just by words, but by their actions. They were committed to raising their kids in a godly environment, in a home that is loving, is caring. They were committed to talk about their faith around the house. They were committed to serving and loving people. My favorite part of my job, by far, is to be with people. I love to walk alongside people, young and old. I was mentored, I should say older, not old, I'm sorry for saying that. Older than myself. You know, I think of people that have spoken life into me, mentors in my life, and I think about Pastor H. And Pastor H, his name was Harry Holmquist, and I had the privilege, and oh, it was such a great experience working with Pastor Harry in the town of Logan Lake. And I think of Pastor H, who mentored myself, really, to just love people and care for them. He actually didn't want me to have an office at the church for two reasons. He wanted me to be around people, and he didn't want people to question me on why he was never at the office. He was barely at the office. He was always around meeting with people and having coffees. He raised money for all of his grandkids to go with him on a missions trip so they would experience missions. He was committed to loving his family and raising them in a godly home. He was committed. I think about Pastor Dave here at the church, and I only had a short amount of time to work with him. He's a special man. He's committed to Jesus. He was committed to the church, and actually he's still committed. He's actually serving here right now. One thing I really appreciated, and there's many things I appreciate about Pastor Dave, was his passion and heart to hear God's voice. And I think that was one of my biggest takeaways, to really press in and search, and not search, but just desire to hear God's voice more in my life. He loved to teach others to hear from God. He was committed to his family. He loves his kids well. The one example of commitment that was the most impactful for me were my parents. They were committed to raising boys in a home that was positive. And when they struggled, they didn't complain about it. We couldn't really tell when they struggled. You know, there were months in my dad's ministry, even as a teenager, that he wasn't paid, and nobody knew about it. He loved people regardless. The church wasn't able to pay for him, pay his salary. I learned many great things due to the commitment of my father, the commitment my father had in his relationship with Jesus, the relationship and time he put in to being with people, the way he loved them. I learned many things from my father for ministry. I learned from my father for being a father, but also to be a follower of Jesus. You may be listening thinking, man, I wish I had an upbringing like that. And you don't really know how to start. And I encourage you today on Valentine's Day to start building a legacy today, to be committed to parenting your kids in a godly home. I think of our Advent testimonies, which I really appreciated. Pastor Mike and Jabin put those together. We had just some great individuals. Their stories were so impactful. And there's one that comes to mind when I'm thinking about this message, when I'm thinking and preparing. I think of Brooke's testimony. He said he grew up in a good home. He had a good family life. He had nice things. But something was missing in his family, and that was Jesus. He has a desire for Jesus to be present in his home. He's committed to seeing this come into fruition. You know, when Jesus is in our life and you walk daily with him, it encourages others to do the same. Our kids, our neighbors, our classmates, our friends, our family see our example. They'll see Christ in us and through us. Authentic connection with others takes commitment. So we've got love. Love God, love others. We've got commitment. The third way in building authentic connections is, this is my favorite, all right? Talk. I love to talk. Verse 7, it goes on to tell people to talk about the commands when you are at home. Talk about the commands when you were at home. Talk about them when you were on the road. Talk when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Talk, 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 talk. To have authentic connections at home, there has to be a good communication. To be intentional with the opportunities that are given. I think of Mark chapter 5. We're talking about at home now. Mark chapter 5. After Jesus delivered a man from demon possession, it's a great story. After Jesus delivered a man from demon possession, Jesus was getting into a boat. And here, we'll read verse 18 and 19 together, Mark 5. The man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." This man's number one ministry was to his family. So how can this relate to us? How can we better serve and love our family? As kids, how can we better serve and love our mom and dad? Well, all the mom and dads are probably cheering right now. But kids and teens, how can we serve our mom and dad better in our house? Kids and all students, I'm gonna challenge you a little bit here as well, again. A little bit more than the last. What about how can you serve your sibling, your sister or your brother? Valentine's. It's Valentine's. It's a great day to show love to those in your family. We need to talk about Jesus at home, to tell your family what the Lord has done in your life. But remember that actions speak louder than words. You know, as parents, we are to raise disciples at home. That we are the primary discipler in our child's life. That we are the primary disciple of our kid's life. That we should talk a lot about Jesus at home. There is a Jessica Legrone says, "Our family is our first church." Home is a place where we discover the body of Christ. We get to know who God is in a relational way in our family, that each member of our family brings their own gifts and strengths, own ideas and own views. And I'm the kind of man I am today because of my father and my mother and my brother. That home should be a place full of joy, of comfort, of refuge, and of encouragement. And at home, we learn how to interact and value each other's opinions. Also, differences, as each member of the family is a child of God. You know, as a youth pastor, again, I just love being around people. I love being around students. I love eating as well, you could probably tell. I love coffee. And I tell our students, hey, if you ever need someone to talk to, I'm there for you. And the church has given me a budget to spend time with students and people. And I love having those opportunities that I can be around people and take them out for food or coffee. And I remember telling our youth that one night, and the next day I was driving with my daughter, and my daughter dropped a line to me that hit me in the feels, right? And she said, "How come you don't take me out that often?" And I remember as I was driving, my heart sunk, because I knew she was right. And I need to make sure that my kids are a big priority for me, to have those opportunities to spend time with them, quality time. It's important to date our kids. I know it might sound weird to you or foreign, but to spend quality time with our kids one-on-one. You know, my son loves basketball. And when his leg gets better, which he's been going through physio, which we're super happy with his progression, I'm really excited for his leg to get back to normal so I can beat him in one-on-one in basketball, which hasn't happened for a long time because he's a lot taller and a lot slimmer than me. So, you know, my son loves sushi. And my wife and my daughter, they don't like seafood. So that's something that we have in common. We can spend time with each other. I think of my daughter who loves ice cream, loves Dairy Queen, Blizzards, all those good stuff. And speaking of blizzards, there's a blizzard outside. But anyways, that's beside the point. We need to find those connection points of what interest your kids have. It's worth it to be intentional and talk about faith. Talk about the hurts maybe you have. Talk about the joys of life. Talk about fears. When we talk about Jesus at home, our kids will learn quickly that Jesus is someone that we value, that we love, and he's someone that we want to emulate our life after. When sharing faith, remember to use language that our kids can understand. A few ideas from our parents I put on Facebook. Hey, how does discipleship look in your family? Maybe you can read scripture after dinner. Maybe you can go through a Right Now Media series with your family. Right Now Media is a great tool that as a church that we have access to. And if you're interested in having Right Now Media, just email the church and we'll show you ways to be able to sign up for that. We use it for our life group. Many of our life groups use the video series on there. There's stuff for family, there's stuff for kids. It's a great discipleship tool for you. Pray together. Eat together. Eating together is so important to have that quality time. I look forward to going home after the day of work and just seeing how my kids did at school. I just love having the opportunity. Hey, I haven't seen them. I want to spend that time with them. Secondly, we need to talk about Jesus when we're on the road. In Moses' day, a great deal of time was spent on the road. A lot of those times were by foot. And nowadays, parents spend a lot of time with their kids on the road. At times, I feel like I'm a taxi driver or an Uber driver, which I don't think we have Uber here yet. I'm sure it's coming. We spend a fair bit of time driving our kids around to different, it could be sports, it could be school, it could be their friend's house, wherever. My wife loves long trips, so we end up talking a whole lot on our trips. You know, to turn off sports radio and listen and ask questions to our kids. How was your day? Anything frustrating about today? It's also a time that we could talk about faith, talk about Jesus. Sometimes not putting on the radio or music is a real gift to your relationship between you and your child, you and your teenager. And some of the best discussions I've had with my kids are in the car. Third, before bed. And this time before bed opens the door to many great, unfiltered, and deep conversation around the house. There was this pastor, and they were expecting a child. And they had noticed in their youth ministry these three girls who were just really great girls. They're really polite. They're just really smart. And this young pastor had asked the mother of these three daughters, what's the best advice that you could give to a new parent? And she said, to buy your kids a bigger bed than needed. And this pastor was a little bit perplexed with this answer. And she then went on to say that every night she would spend time with each daughter, lying beside them in bed and having just a real opportunity to like talk about their day and really just connect on a great level. She did that intentionally. Kim and I find that our kids are the most honest and open and vulnerable at night. Those are opportunities that we're able to talk to our kids, just have some great conversations with, and a lot of times they initiate those discussions as well. My wife is the queen of this. She has such a knack, and she's a great mother. Build intentional times with your kids with some routine. Just maybe you can, as they're younger, it might be hard to start when you're when they're teens, but maybe sing together or you know, talk, read, pray together. Sandra Burgess was saying how what she does with Zane each night is to read or to watch a Bible video, a Bible story. And she does that with Zane. Those are great ideas that we need to find things that work for us. There's no cookie cutter way of, you have to figure it out what works for your family, what works for your relationship with your kids. In the morning, I'm not going to lie, this one's not a great one for me, and this is something that I'm being encouraged to maybe be better in. I usually don't. I have a hard time early in the morning, and when I say early, I mean pre 8 o'clock a.m. in the morning. And I'm glad my life group still likes being around me when we have breakfast at 7:15. Not during COVID. Okay, we don't meet during COVID. But I remember one example that has to do with the morning, and that's the example of my grandparents. Our church has a lot of grandparents and a lot of grandparents that do a great job in being a part of their kids, their grandkids' lives. And I remember I would stay a week in the summer. With my grandparents in Armstrong. Every summer I'd go there, and I'd remember one time so specifically. It was about 5 a.m. in the morning, and my grandparents started to talk, and they woke me up, and I was actually like really annoyed. I'm like, how could they do this to me? I'm on summer holidays. I want to sleep in, and they were talking. I just kind of wanted to hear what they were saying, and I started to hear words that were kind of familiar, and I heard Wayne with a little bit more just talking, and then I heard the word Derek, a little bit of talking, and then I heard Trevor. I'm like, oh, they're talking about me. And then I heard Greg, a little bit more talking. I heard Jay, and then Karina, and then Kyle, and then Chad. Well, those are the names of my cousins. Those are the names of their grandkids. And what my grandparents were doing was they were praying for their kids, their marriages, and their grandkids. I'm really thankful for the example my grandparents were to me, the example for many things. but specifically of prayer and spending time with God, even as a couple together. They really prayed for those in their family. They prayed for, they supported missionaries. They had a huge heart for prayer. They showed me a great example of faithfulness and praying for others. You know, maybe you can figure out practical ways in the morning to maybe have breakfast together or to pray together for the start of the day or on the drive to school, to read scripture together, have meaningful discussion on the way to work. Figure out what works for you. Deuteronomy 6:9 says, write them, commands, on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And some Israelites took this literally and wore little boxes with commands written in them, tied around their heads. And some of them had written on doorposts, and variations of this practice continue on to this day. Some families place a physical reminder currently of God's love around their homes. It matters. I love reminders for myself. I have a reminder in my office right by my door as I walk by every day numerous times. And I have a sign that says, pray for the students of the Comox Valley. And to me, that's a reminder to be praying for our schools, praying for our kids, praying for our teenagers, that God would grip their hearts. To pray for our youth ministry. I think of even growing up, I think of Christmas time, and my mom was so intentional on this, and I didn't really understand why at the time. But what she would do at Christmas time is she would actually, as Christmas decorations, she would write on little scrolls. She would make little scrolls and write Bible verses on these scrolls and then hang them on the tree. And there was like tons of them, like, I don't know, like 20 or 30. And I might be exaggerating, I might not be accurate on that, but there was a lot of them. And the other thing she did was to make sure our focus on Christmas Eve was on Jesus, and she made a birthday cake for every church that we were a part of. That there was a birthday cake for Jesus. We would kind of celebrate that together at the end of our Christmas Eve service. My friend welded a cross for us to hang on our wall in our house. Maybe a Bible verse is written on chalkboards or decor with words like faith or prayer on them. I love the idea of family values, and a lot of these values are things like being kind and being respectful. You know, these are good reminders for our kids to see. These are good things for visitors as they come in our house. That our home is our first church. And to close, I want to encourage you as followers of Jesus to be Christ-like in all of our interactions within the communities that we are a part of. That people will know we are Christians and followers by the way we act and the way we treat others. To have true, authentic connections with others, that we need to love God, that we need to love others, to be committed, to talk about and live out Jesus at home, at bedtime, in the morning, when we were on the road. With no road rage, okay? Try your best. And I know moving here, one of the biggest changes was going through drive-thrus. In the Okanagan, it would take maybe 5 minutes here. It takes probably a good 20, 25 minutes tops, right? I don't know if you've noticed that. Try not to get frustrated in the vehicle. But as we close here, some ideas of practical ways for authentic connection is to write a letter to someone. encourage someone, maybe with scripture or a note. Yesterday, I was we ended up getting a note on our van, and I have no idea who it was, but this letter was really thoughtful. It said, "Hey, this is your neighbor," which they didn't put a name, so I don't have a clue who it was. "This is your neighbor. I've shoveled your driveway." It said, I know that your wife wakes up early to go to work, and I wanted to shovel your driveway so your wife can go to work and to shovel off the snow on our van. Well, my wife didn't have to work yesterday, but I was really impacted by that. I just thought that was a really cool gesture of a neighbor showing love to me. And I don't know if this neighbor is a follower of Jesus, but if this neighbor can show me love, I can show love to others. I think it's a great example of neighbors caring for each other. Go for a socially distant walk with somebody. Share to each other what God is doing in your lives. It's so encouraging to hear what God is doing presently, what God is doing in the hearts of those around us, those friends that we have. To be a part of a life group. You know, Pastor Mike just mentioned there is a new life group that's starting up about loving our neighbors. Am I right? That is such a great idea to be a part of that. I encourage you. Help fulfill a practical need for someone. I hear of men like Don Trabolsi and Dale Clare on who are loving their neighbors well and doing things to help others around them, maybe build things. To give someone your time. To extend grace towards someone. I want us to do something active right now. Maybe not active. You could be sitting down, but an action. I want you to take 30 seconds right now. And I want you to pray for the communities that you are a part of, your neighborhood, your school, your workplace. Pray and ask God how he can help you build authentic connections within those communities. Can you guys just take 30 seconds? And we're going to start now, and we're just going to pray individually, all right? If you're with your family, you could pray with your family in regards to it. And what I want you to do is after that, I just want you to write some of those ideas down. And that's your homework for this week, okay? So let's just take a little bit of time. Amen. Well, I trust and hope that you have a few thoughts that have come to your mind, that maybe God's speaking to your heart today. It's important for us to have authentic connections during this time. People need each other. People need you. You need people. I just want to close in prayer for you. As we close, we're not going to end with a song. We'll just close, take this time and just close in prayer. I just want to say thank you for listening. And I just look forward to kind of hearing how things will be going in your life this week. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for our church. We thank you for our people. We pray, Lord, as we've talked about a lot about authentic connections, Lord, we need you in our life. Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to you. Lord, that we would have more of a heart for you, to get to know you more. And through those, that relationship with you, Lord, it will outflow to loving others. Lord, help us, give us the right words to say. Help us to love others well. Help us to love those that maybe we have a hard time with. Lord, we pray for those families that are represented. We pray, Lord, that you will impact these families for good. Lord, that you would give wisdom to parents as they lead their homes. Lord, that you would be with students, that you would be with the kids of these homes. Help them to speak to their hearts, Lord. Lord, that you would raise them up as godly leaders, as godly adults. Lord, encourage their hearts today. And Lord, as we have Valentine's Day today, as we have Family Day today, we just thank you, Lord, for our family. We thank you for those that we love. We pray, Lord, that you would keep us safe. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day, everyone. Enjoy the rest of the long weekend. We'll be praying for you. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.